I'm Bama Astrea, and I'm the director of the International Labor Rights Fund. We're a labor rights advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C.
I understand that your organization's taken legal action against Nestle. What is this about?
We have been very concerned for many years with the problem of forced child labor and trafficked child labor in cocoa production, particularly in Ivory Coast. Nestle is, in fact, one of the major corporate players in the cocoa business, and in particular in Ivory Coast. We have representative offices in Ivory Coast and processing facilities. And when the problems first surfaced, when the media first brought these issues to light in 2001, Nestle, along with many of the other major global corporate players in the cocoa and chocolate industry, desperate to stave off any possible legislation or requirements for change in their sourcing practices, voluntarily committed to clean up their supply chain and eliminate the child labor problem by July 2005. And we, as an organization that's very concerned with child labor, it's one of our central issues, we're very, very closely watching, and you know, you could even say watchdogging the industry to see that they made good on that promise, and were repeatedly disappointed to find that most of the action that the companies were taking was in the form of public statements in consumer countries, and virtually nothing was being done on the ground in Ivory Coast where the problem was. We waited through the end of the timeline that the industry itself imposed, and sure enough, by July 2005, nothing had been done to alter conditions or in any way eliminate the problem of child labor in Ivory Coast, and we decided that really nothing was going to happen unless someone forced the companies to do it, and one of the tools available to us was litigation. It's not a perfect tool, but it's what we got. There's a U.S. law on the books called the Alien Tort Claims Act that makes it possible to hold human rights violators accountable for a short list of what are called crimes against humanity, and slavery and forced labor are among those crimes. So we are seeking to hold Nestle and other cocoa importers responsible for their use of forced labor in Ivory Coast.
Could you say a bit more about what is actually going on in Ivory Coast and what evidence you have for it? And are the companies accepting that there is child slavery? And do they accept that they have some role to play in ensuring it doesn't take place?
Yes, well, that's a number of questions at once. So let me talk about the, you know, evidence question first. Yes, we do represent plaintiffs who are no longer in Ivory Coast. They've gone back to their home country, which is a neighboring country. It's very, very important that we keep those plaintiffs anonymous, so I can't really give you many details about, you know, where they are. They are youths who, as children, were trafficked into Ivory Coast to labor on the cocoa plantations. They were held against their will. They were threatened with severe punishment if they tried to escape. One of them was threatened that he would be buried alive if he didn't obey his employer. These particular youths did manage to escape, and they did have to escape under very, you know, difficult and dramatic conditions, made it back safely to their home country, and they are really just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, they, you know, through them and through local organizations with which we work, have recognized that, in fact, this is a widespread problem. There are, you know, many hundreds at a minimum in this particular area of returned child, forced child laborers, and we cannot, with any accuracy, determine the extent to which the problem continues, but we are certain that it is continuing. We have done investigations, sending our own field investigators to Ivory Coast on a number of occasions in 2003, 2004, starting in 2002, actually, 2003, 2004, and our investigators made two trips in 2005. We made a trip in June of 2005, just on the eve of the expiration of the industry's own self-imposed deadline to see if anything had been done, what we could give them credit for, and found that indeed there were a few people talking to each other, but there wasn't really much more than that. And we went back in December of 2005 as well, and were able to talk to a few children and to photograph some children. Now, one of the things that has happened between 2002 and 2005, and this is very important, is that throughout the country, country, communities have been sensitized and politicized and, you know, made aware that they should not talk to investigators or the press about these issues. So it has become much, much more difficult to actually interview either farmers or children, you know, or workers, because people are very scared to talk now in a way they weren't before. So one thing that industry has very effectively done on the ground is put a great chilling effect on, you know, entire communities of cocoa producers that they ought not to talk to anybody about this problem. The few very reliable local interlocutors that we have aren't going to be able to interview people openly about it anymore. The few children that we were able to talk to, we got as far as being able to verify that they were underage, that they were working full-time, you know, during times when they should have been in school, and that they were not family members. These were children that had come from some distance, at least, to work on these particular farms. And that's as far as we were able to get. People were very, very scared to talk to us in December of 2005. So we are not able to confirm the extent to which the problem is continuing, but we certainly can confirm that it is continuing, that very little has been done on the ground in terms of the companies that operate there and that have great influence over the industry doing anything to clean up their own supply chains, but that certainly everyone has got the message loud and clear that it's no longer safe to talk about this issue.
Is Nestle and the other companies involved denying that there is a problem?
No, and that's very interesting. They're not denying that there's a problem, and they're not even denying that they're complicit. And this is something that, is just an interesting feature of some of the legal briefs that have gone back and forth since we filed suit in July of 2005. They, Nestle and the other companies are basically arguing that slavery, you know, or forced child labor isn't really a crime against humanity, so we don't have grounds under this particular law to bring the case. But they are, you know, not once do they say that they're not guilty.
Do they actually run the cocoa farms where this is taking place? And if not, how do they have the power to stop it?
They have a tremendous power over those farms. There are more than 500,000 small cocoa farms throughout Ivory Coast. And so you'd think, and certainly industry says, you know, proclaims loudly every time you ask them about this, that it's too complicated because there are all these small players and, you know, they don't really have control. What we found when we did our original investigations of the cocoa industry back in 2002 and 2003 was that all, so keep in mind that Ivory Coast produces just short of half the world's cocoa. So in and of itself, there's a tremendous concentration of the industry in this one country. And in Ivory Coast, the entire cocoa trade is controlled by 10 companies. So you have a choke point at which a very small handful of multinational players are the single exit point. And of those 10 companies, more than half the cocoa trade is controlled by three companies, and we've identified that those three companies are Nestle, Archer Daniels, Midland, and Cargill, and that's why they are the targets of our suit. That just, you know, in the hands of these three companies is, in fact, the power to set terms for the entire cocoa industry. The concentration is quite incredible. And yet, they say that they can't possibly do anything about this 500,000 farms. They somehow do manage to get their cocoa and, you know, and get it to a very, a sort of very small choke point. They are able to control quality of the cocoa. Each of these companies have representative offices in Ivory Coast and control a small army of middlemen who are responsible for going to the farms to buy the cocoa. So they definitely have direct lines of control over the farmers. They set the prices, they negotiate the prices. You know, they are able to convey concerns about quality. And so it is definitely very, very possible, and indeed, this is something that from the get-go they could have done back in 2001 when the problem first surfaced, is to utilize that tremendous control they have through the buyers to investigate, to accurately investigate and to remediate the problem of child labor on the farms and forced labor on the farms. But they have not once made any attempt to do so.
Now, I understand there's to be a meeting today, the 18th of September, by a senator, called by a senator to examine this issue again. Could you say a bit more about the meeting and what has happened?
I can only say what I know. I certainly can't speak on behalf of, you know, of a U.S. senator, you know, or indeed of anybody else in this equation. I can only say that we learned that that Senator Tom Harkin had requested that industry provide a public briefing for all NGOs and stakeholders that they had requested to take place on September 18th. And we understand, though you certainly should confirm this independently, this is, you know, just what we have heard, that industry were too busy to, and so at the last minute decided not to entertain that request for a meeting with stakeholders because everybody in the cocoa industry was too busy to possibly brief NGOs.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I think it sort of defies credibility to think that all these global multinational cocoa companies couldn't possibly spare, you know, one or two people to come and brief industry on what they were doing in West Africa.
Well, I don't know if you were aware, but here in the UK, Nestle is sponsoring a fringe meeting at the Labour Party conference on the 25th of September, which is on the theme of Is Slavery History? And not only are they sponsoring it, but there's a panelist from Nestle to explain what business is doing about forced labour. Do you have any comment about Nestle sponsoring this meeting when it's refusing to turn up on the 18th, saying it's too busy? And if the meeting does go ahead here in the UK, what questions would you like to be put to Nestle?
I can only speculate that the Nestle UK reps have perhaps reason to believe that they will have a less critical audience at this gathering than they might have had at this September 18th meeting. I really can't imagine that everyone was too busy to talk to stakeholders here, and can only think that they didn't want to have a public meeting here in the U.S. if it were going to be embarrassing for them, and that they must think that they're going to have an easier time of it. That said, I think it is very important that people put tough questions to industry, and I think there are a number of outstanding questions that we and our allies, you know, here have certainly tried to put to industry on any number of occasions, and they haven't answered. The principal one being that industry itself committed to certification of its entire worldwide cocoa supply chain by July 2005. Now, clearly that didn't happen, but it's you know, they made that promise themselves, so I think we need to keep asking them, when are they going to take responsibility for their own cocoa supply chains? When are they going to actually internally develop the capacity to monitor their own supply chains? And what are they going to do to remediate and rehabilitate the children that have been trafficked over the years? And there are a number of other questions you could ask as well. I mean, I know that the industry has been taking credit for any number of sort of, you know, cute projects here and there to train farmers and do this and do that. But it's really not clear what, you know, which of those projects is tackling the problem that industry has promised to tackle, which is to monitor its supply chains and to do something to help the kids that it's been trafficked through the years.
When it comes to monitoring, independent monitoring is also, of course, very important. And one of the systems that we have is the Fair Trade Accreditation System. As you probably know, Nestle has one fair trade product, which is a coffee. Is there any reason why they couldn't be buying cocoa through a fair trade system, which would be independently audited?
Well, it's a particularly relevant question for this industry because, despite the fact that since 2001, you know, in any number of opportunities to do something, you know, despite any number of opportunities to do something, every time we've written letters to, you know, anybody in the industry, Nestle or anybody else, they've sort of come back saying, well, it's very complicated and there's a civil war in Ivory Coast, and so, you know, this is all going to be very tough to do. That in the interval, of course, the Fair Trade Labeling Organization has been able to go to Ivory Coast and has been able to certify a fair trade cooperative in Ivory Coast that is a very large cooperative. It's got 8,000 farmers in it, and we've visited with that cooperative, and we are certainly very appreciative of the efforts that the farmers themselves are taking there to ensure that they aren't using illegal child labor. And not only that, I mean, one of the wonderful things about that cooperative in Ivory Coast is they're actually building schools. With their own money, they're building schools for children in the community. So There is an option that's available, that's credible, that's certified, and that can be communicated to consumers. And the stunning thing is that the global corporations of this trade really are refusing to make any commitment to purchase from it. And the particularly stunning thing in this instance is that the Fair Trade Cooperative in Ivory Coast is not able to sell all of its cocoa at a fair trade price. So it's being forced to just sort of sell a lot of it at the world price. And one of its major buyers is Nestle. Nestle is benefiting from the certification but not paying the fair trade price.
So what can people do about this issue? What message do you have for people here in the UK and anywhere else who may be listening to this?
They must continue to pressure industry to monitor and to remediate the child labor problem. And that both involves, I think in West Africa we can with confidence say that it would be very useful for the companies to purchase more fair trade cocoa. But this is bigger than simply purchasing the volume of fair trade cocoa that's available. They made a commitment to remediate this problem throughout their entire worldwide supply chain. And continuing, to respond over the years that it's complicated and they're working on it is not enough. We need a date certain by which this problem will end.
And is there anything else that you would like to say to anyone who might be listening?
Oh, Mike, where do I start? I really think it's important for consumers to be aware of this, for consumers to express their concern over the child labor problem. I think it's very clear that industry thinks it can afford to continue to invest in public relations as opposed to actually investing in the farmers themselves and in ending the problem in West Africa. We just need to keep pressuring them to do that.
Thank you very much for talking to me. We will do our best to attend the meeting here in the UK on the 25th of September and try to raise some of these questions with Nestle, as they're not going to be turning up to the meeting there in the US.
Well, thanks. We really appreciate that and look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Bye.